Today on Real Life Radio.
We're not to judge one another with condemnation. We are to inspect one another with this intent, to encourage and edify one another, never to shoot at one another.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible.
Whether or not you're a car enthusiast, our current featured resource called Ignite Your Life by Barry McGuire guides us through a life free from worry and fear. Barry, well known in the automotive world, shows us how to live God's way with effortless faith and by keeping God as our first love.
Whoever encounters Barry encounters Jesus Christ. So please get your own copy today at jackhibbs.com.
Ignite Your Life is our gift to you when you make a donation of any amount to the ministry at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com.
On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called 1 Corinthians with a message titled, Living Out the Word of God. You know, 1 Corinthians was written by the Apostle Paul to the Church of God in Corinth, and it's a study on how to stay true to the gospel message of Jesus Christ. But now Paul introduces a whole new section in his letter. And as a disclaimer, it may not be appropriate for young listeners, so please take note that if you've got young ones listening with you, this might not be the message for them. So today, Pastor Jack teaches us that living out the Word of God is to not be of this world, but be obedient to God's Word, to love the sinner but hate their sin, knowing that there is a satanic power that's working against them. Now, with his message called Living Out the Word of God, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
I not only woke up this morning not feeling like getting out of bed, which is very rare for me. I usually almost 99% of the time, I wake up before my alarm clock in life. I get up. And even when, Lisa knows this, even when I have a day off and I can sleep in, I cannot do that. If I sleep past 6 o'clock, there's something wrong with me. I got to get up before the sky turns light. I feel like I missed my day. This morning I got up and I didn't want to get out of bed. And I got up and I'm... And you know what I'm talking about? When your body just doesn't, everything is just, I don't want to go. And I walked outside and looked up. It's beautiful, by the way, this morning. This is at 3 o'clock this morning. Looked up. Wow, it's beautiful. I still don't want to go. And I spend that time with the Lord in prayer and making last final corrections to the notes. I didn't want to do that. And I said, Lord, I don't want to pray. I just don't feel like it. Which was funny because as I was telling him, I don't want to pray. I'm actually praying. I don't want to do this. Lord, I know you love me and all is fine, but Lord, can I call in sick? I'm checking for a sore throat. I got here and the pastors go, you okay? I'm fine. What's the matter? I don't want to be here. I love all you, but I don't want to be here. Here's how I know how carnal it is. You ever been like this? Or maybe it's just me. Back in the green room this morning, this morning, waiting to come out here, I thought to myself, hey, flesh, what do you want to do? You don't want to be here, so what do you want to do? You know, you're like, what do you want to do? I don't know. What do you want to do? Here's how you know you're messed up. And you need to divorce yourself from your emotions. When your flesh says, I don't know what I want to do. Because, you know, I mean, normally my flesh would say, Hawaii! Wahoo's fish tacos, black beans, and rice. It didn't say anything. You say, what are you talking about? There's days in our lives when emotions seek to rule over us. And when we make a decision based upon what we feel like doing versus what we should do, we make the stupidest decisions. And we get ourselves in all kinds of trouble. And things like being or having a sentiment, a feeling about something. When people come to church and they say, you know what, Pastor? I'm leaving my wife because... The guy doesn't talk like that, but he'd say, you know, Pastor, I feel like leaving my wife. I'm going to leave my wife because I just have this feeling and I pray to God and he wants me happier. What's the answer to that? The answer is no, he does not want you happier. He doesn't want, where does it say in the Bible, be happy? He wants you holy. You become holy by following him, not by doing what you feel. We get all messed up. When God says, do this, do that, turn left, turn right, we're so funny. We're more obedient to our GPS than we are to the Word of God. Turn left in 300 feet. Okay, listen, we're turning left. And God says, hey, go here, don't go there. And we go, I'm going to pray about it. You don't need to pray about it. Can you imagine? GPS, turn left 100 feet. Let's pray about that. You'll never think of that. But obeying God, we need to be strong, which leads us, really, to the second point is that we're not of this world. Verse 11 teaches us that we're in the world, but we're not of it. We are not of the world. We are Christians. The word Christian means to follow Christ. And we are en route to heaven. We are to be obedient to the word of God. Verse 11 teaches us, this is serious stuff. Ushers, let the people run. Just let them out. Here it comes. Here it is. But now I have written to you, this is the apostles speaking to the church of Corinth, not to keep company. Don't hang out. Don't be a friend of. Cut the guy off. Don't go to the movies. Go to dinner. You fill in the blank. Don't keep company. Do not keep company with anyone named. The word named is one who declares himself to be a Christian. Listen. Who is sexually immoral or covetous. Or an idol worshiper, or a reviler, or a drunkard, or an extortioner. Now watch this. You say, Jack, I'm totally confused. You mean I can go out into the world and witness to the people who do those things, but I'm not even to have dinner with a Christian who's doing those things? Answer, correct. Why? Watch this. If you're a Christian, raise your hand. You're in huge trouble now. Huge. You know why? Any person declaring himself to be a brother, a Christian, is judged with a stricter judgment by God. The world, God expects nothing out of the world. They don't know him. When we go to the world, we don't expect anything from them. The moment somebody says, hey, how are you? I'm a Christian. Oh, dear. You know what I'm saying? Let's be honest. If somebody comes up and says, hey, how are you? I'm a Satanist. Okay, then. I know what to expect from this guy. I'm going to put on garlic and, you know, I'm kidding, but you know what I mean? Put up the cross and, no, I'm joking, but listen, I know, I don't expect anything from him. He doesn't know God. The moment someone says, hey, I'm a Christian, praise the Lord. In my life, and I know in your life, I'm just being honest right now for you, is, oh dear, that guy just said he's a Christian. Let's watch and see, huh? Let's watch and see. In the context of Christianity, in the context of the church, you will find wolves in sheep's clothing. The Bible says you will find those who are out to destroy people. You'll find those who are out to take advantage of people. Why? All of this stuff. If you have a guy who says he's a Christian and a guy who says he's not a Christian, their human fleshly appetites are exactly the same. Extortion, sexual gratification, partying or whatever, you fill in the blank. They're out for the flesh. And when somebody says, yeah, whatever, they live in the flesh, they live for the flesh, and then on Sunday they say, I'm a Christian. Yikes. I don't know. We'll have to watch and see. And it gets real quiet in here, and this is serious stuff, huh? And yet the world out there is saying, they wouldn't even come in here, but the world would say right now to what I just said, what do you guys say? Amen, pastor. Yeah, preach it, dude. That's true. The world says that's true. The Christians in name only want to say, I'm leaving. I'm not going to take it. No, I'm going to that church again. So next week you'll be able to park anywhere you want. We are to be obedient to the word of God. And I'll give you some hope. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 14. 1 Peter 1, 14 says, as obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lust, you know, the stuff that we used to do, as in your ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in your conduct, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. Watch this. This is awesome. If you think the answer to being a true Christian is wearing black, I like wearing black, but you think, oh, I'm going to wear black. I'm not going to put any makeup on. I'm going to put my hair in a bun. And I'm going to get a really big Bible and suck on lemons. and I'll be holy. And so when people see me, well, hey, you're different. Yes, yes, I am. I am a Christian. I'm following God. Won't you come? Are you kidding? Are you kidding? That's it. Forget it. What do you think? Listen, that's religion trying to attain a status to impress God. When Peter said, by the way, Peter's quoting from Leviticus chapter 20, Moses. Peter is saying, I got some good news for all of us. Because God's holy and you're in the family of God now, you're one of his kids, you can be holy now because he's holy. He's your dad. He's your father. And he turns to you. He fills you with his Holy Spirit. And he seals you, the Bible says, into the day of redemption. And then he winds you up. And he puts you in this world. And he sends you out into it because you're not of it. And you go out into it. And you come from the position of God having declared you holy. And you live like that. And that's why the world will rejoice in seeing you in sincerity and honesty, in power, and Satan will tremble. Remember when those guys in the book of Acts were faking their Christianity? And the demon spoke from the possessed man to the guys who were trying to make money out of Christianity. And they said, in the name of Paul, in the name of Jesus, come out. They didn't know what they're talking about. And the demon speaks to the guy's mouth. Can you imagine? I'd love to see that. The demon goes, hey, Paul we know, Jesus we know, but who are you? And the Bible says the demon left the guy's body and attacked those guys. Hello. Don't you, listen, this is kind of weird, but it's true. Don't you want to be known in hell? I don't mean, don't you want to go to hell? I mean to be known in hell. Imagine that. That a carload of demons would drive down the street in the spirit and say, get away from that church. Get away from that church. We know those people. Why? Because you pray, you're devoted to God, you're serving the Lord, and it's just absolutely wreaking havoc in the kingdom of darkness. That to me is awesome. No, just tiptoe around. Don't shake them up. Ah, it's too late for that. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world, says the Bible.
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
We are to be intolerant of sinful acts. That's what Paul is saying. To be intolerant of sinful acts and sinful conduct. He says, any brother who calls himself, or any man who calls himself a brother and lives like this, don't even eat with the guy. You say, what does that accomplish? A lot. Number one, it keeps you from becoming polluted by that person's actions. Listen carefully. It protects you from being polluted by that person's actions. Number two, it's in direct obedience to the word of God. Number three, it sends a message to that guy. He's living a wrong life. And you would say, but number four is, I should be gracious and forgiving to him. Not yet. You can't do that until the person repents. How can you forgive someone who's not repenting of their sin? God hasn't forgiven them yet. They have to repent to be forgiven. In a church setting, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. In a church family, if you know someone who calls himself a Christian, but is an extortionist and a thief and a robber and sexually immoral and all this stuff, listen, the Bible says don't even eat with them. Number one, if they're a real Christian, they will sense of being ostracized will lead them back to Jesus. If they're not a real Christian, then let them go. You say, Jack, I can't believe I'm hearing this in a church. Well, then maybe you should come here more often then. This is the real deal. This is for real. Because look, in our feelings, when we don't want to confront situations, and I'm not talking about judging in the way of condemning. We're supposed to love one another if we care. Imagine, oh gosh, look at that guy. He's going to go down the cliff. I think he's going to go off that cliff. He doesn't even see it coming. Oh dear. People go like this, get the camera. This could be a YouTube moment. That guy's going to go off the cliff. How can you love the person? If you really love somebody, you're going to say, hey, listen, you know what? Did you hear that message on Sunday? Isn't that you? I mean, dude, I've known you for a long time. Aren't you like shacking up with Bubbles? And you guys carry a Bible to church, but then you go home and you know what? You guys say that you're Christian, but you live in a totally different world. Isn't that what this... That guy's going to say, hey, get out of my life, man. Or he's going to say, man, that burns. It's going to cause a reaction. You know what? I would rather have that happen than for me to not say anything. Oh, man, doesn't that remind you of, like, you know, Fred and Wilma, that whole thing? Yeah, wow. Well, don't tell them. Don't you say anything about it. Why do we do this? To protect ourselves. And they're injured. Do we really believe in the Bible for reals? I mean, honestly, come on. This is a big deal. And it just doesn't have to be the things that are listed here. It could be anyone who names himself or herself as a brother or sister and doesn't live a life for God. Which leads us to us being uncomfortable with the things that God hates. We need to be uncomfortable, church, with the things that God hates. Imagine if God were to say, I hate these things. And we're all okay with it. God says, I don't like that. In fact, I hate this and I hate that. You say, God can't hate. He's the God of love. Oh, wait. In the Bible, in fact, you can mark it. It's Proverbs chapter 6. God says he hates some things. If he hates those things, shouldn't we hate them? If God hates things, shouldn't we hate the things that God hates? Proverbs 6:16. There are six things the Lord hates. Seven are detestable or an abomination to him. A proud attitude or a conceited look. A lying tongue. Hands that shed innocent blood. Hands that kill someone who cannot defend themselves. Wow. A heart that devises wicked schemes. Feet that are quick to rush into evil. That word implies a gossiper. Wow. A false witness who pours out lies, and a man who stirs up dissension or division among his brothers. What does that mean? God says, I hate the person, for example, who, wherever they go, there is a drama of division. You know people like this. Wherever they go, in the name of Jesus, every time they leave, people's lives are ruined. There's somebody cruising along, loving on God. This person shows up, gets done talking to them, and they no longer go to church. They no longer open their Bible. They wind up over time drying up. What has happened? God says, I hate that kind of person doing that kind of stuff. Could you imagine God saying that to you? You know how we're reading in the chronological Bible in Job? How God speaks to Job? Hey, Job, sit down. I'm going to tell you how it is. And I'm going to ask you some questions, and you're going to answer me. Can you imagine God talking to you like that? So God says to Job, all right, tell me how I made the stars. And tell me how I did this. Go ahead. You think you know so much, Job? Go ahead and tell me how I did it. Oh, man. When God speaks, he is the authority. And he says, look, there's things I hate. So we should hate those things. We should guard our lives against those things. Third and final point, verses 12 to 13, living out the word of God means that we're to be above this world. Humbly, yes, but above this world. The Bible tells us that we have been seated in the heavenly places with Christ. The Bible says that our citizenship is in heaven. Isn't that amazing? You know how all of you raised your hand a moment ago as Christians? Your real address is in heaven. Your real passport is in heaven. When you go home, I'm talking the real big home. You're not going to your home in Chino Hills or wherever you live. You're not going to that home. When the moment comes for the big trip home, you're going to heaven. That's what the Bible teaches. That's where you and I live out of. That's where we live from, the reality. And so we need to enjoy that and walk in that power and understand this, that verses 12 to 13 teaches us, number one, that we are to leave the final judgment to God. Look at verse 12. It says, for what have I to do, Paul says, judging those also who are outside? Paul is saying, I don't judge the world. And then skip down to the first part of verse 13. But those who are outside, God judges. God's going to deal with the world. We don't even need to elaborate on that. Over and over again, the Bible's very clear. That's what part of the Battle of Armageddon is all about. That's what the great white throne judgment's all about. That is what when Jesus in Matthew 25, when Christ returns to earth in the second coming, the Bible says he sits in Jerusalem and he draws the nations before him and he separates them like sheep, or like a shepherd separates sheep from the goats. Can you imagine? That day's coming when God judges the world. We're not to judge the world. We have no business judging the world. It doesn't matter. But look, it's altogether different. Look at the latter end of those two verses. We're to live like the people that we are. That is, that we are Christians and we're above this world. He says, do you not judge? You guys, right there, circle the word judge. The word is examine, inspect, determine, conclude. Do you not decide, conclude those who are inside, that is the church? Don't you guys know one another and relate to one another and discern amongst one another who's for real or not? Look at the end of verse 13. Therefore, put away from yourselves the evil guy. Imagine this, and we're going to come to the end of this here in a moment. The Bible says that we ought to be relating to one another in such a way that if somebody's off, something's wrong, if we really love one another, and this is not preference. You might be here today. Maybe you're visiting. You say, you know what? Your shirt's untucked. Well, I intended to untuck. I can't tuck in my shirt. I mean, I could, but I don't like to. I get too hot. You say, oh, I can't come back because your shirt's untucked. Well, that's not what I'm talking about. But if my life is off in some area, and you come to me and you say, you know, Bible verse, chapter right here, what's the deal? That's fantastic. We can only do that if we know each other. The book of Corinthians has been teaching us this. Now watch this. It is essential because as the people that God has made us to be in fellowship one with another, we are to be what Jesus said, you'll know them by their fruits. We are to look at one another's life and conclude. Now you see a brand new Christian. Brand new Christians are fun. You need to know and remember though, when you're a mature Christian or an older Christian, that when you talk to a new Christian, they're just getting started. And they'll say, oh, man, praise the Lord. You know, I get, yeah, praise the Lord. Is that right? Yeah, well, praise the Lord. And man, I pulled in here, you know, and I got a parking spot and I got here before anybody. And you know what? And they might say something and then beep. And then they go, was I supposed to say that? I don't think I'm supposed to say that anymore. Right. Right. Some people, listen, some Christians will go, oh my gosh. You don't do that. You'll freak out that new believer. You say, yeah, you know what? You're not supposed to say that. But look at you. You caught it. You wouldn't have caught that last week, huh? Yeah, you're right. And they're growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus. What's pathetic is when you meet a Christian who's 10 years old, and he's, I mean, 10 years old as a Christian. And he's living like that. There should be growth, right? So, we're not to judge one another with condemnation. We are to inspect one another with this intent, to encourage and edify one another, never to shoot at one another.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, with his message called Living Out the Word of God. We're glad you could be with us today. You know, this message is part of Pastor Jack's series called 1 Corinthians. It's a series on the Corinthian church and the Apostle Paul's bold call for purity. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. Are you searching for answers these days in a world where truth is hard to find? Well, my friend, as you heard in our broadcast, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And if you'd like to learn more about what that means to you personally, just go to our website, jackhibbs.com. And then click on that tab there that's labeled Know God. And there you'll be guided through what committing to Jesus Christ really means and the freedom that you'll find in knowing God. That's the Know God tab at our website, jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com.
Hey, everybody. Have you gotten dry mouth and kind of terrified when you knew you were supposed to share the Lord with somebody, but you chickened out? All of us know that feeling. And it comes from insecurity because we don't know how to say what we know, what we believe. And yet the burden is upon us to tell someone. Well, listen, you guys, my friend Barry McGuire has written the book, Ignite Your Life. And it is a book that is a must read to help you learn how to share Jesus Christ with everybody in any situation. You're going to be surprised as to how easy it is to move someone just a little bit closer to Jesus Christ. Ignite Your Life by Barry McGuire. Get a copy for yourself.
Ignite Your Life by Barry McGuire is our gift to you when you make a donation of any amount to the Ministry of Real Life. Go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com and get your copy of Ignite Your Life today. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.